This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington, talking with composer Eric Desiderio. His most recent game is for Anshar Online, and it's a little hard to describe, but it's a space adventure. It's an RPG multiplayer for the Oculus Rift. And Eric, it's great to have a chance to talk with you.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show, Kate.
You know, you were so excited when I talked with you at GDC because the game was getting such a fabulous reaction on the floor at GDC, and it must have been such a rush to finally be able to watch people playing a game that you'd done the music for.
Oh, it was such a wonderful experience. And I honestly didn't know that there was going to be a whole room at the Oculus store just with people playing it. So I walked in, and there's about six or seven people all playing together in the same universe, going on missions together, like teaming up, communicating. And they timed it so that it was released with the Oculus Go. So there was a whole bunch of people buying Oculus Go at a certain point, and then they all were buying the game and playing against each other. And so it's a big, exciting fan group of people that play it.
Yeah, and they've done it. The studio, Osway, has created it so that it can be played on multiple platforms. There's even a PC version of it, so it's not specifically limited to VR, which is very, very cool.
Yeah, so I play it on my Gear VR, but then I'm playing and other people are on just the straight up Oculus, and then other people are playing on Oculus Go, and all of them can interact together and you can all play together.
Well, I'm really curious about how you got involved with the game and with the studio.
Sure. I had done the music for the Adventure Time VR game a couple of years ago, and that was really popular. And it was the first VR game based off of a pre-existing property. So Adventure Time and Cartoon Network teamed up with a company called Turbo Button to make this really fun game. And so I was lucky, I got to write some music for it. And then they really enjoyed the music for the game. They were fans of the game. And then I was giving a talk at GDC a couple of years ago about music for VR games. And so I just kind of reached out to them to see if maybe we could work together. And then, you know, one thing led to the next. They checked out my music. They really liked it. And we ended up having a nice relationship. And it's really interesting because they're located in Switzerland. So a lot of the emails, you know, were completely off time zone wise. So most of the correspondence was through emails and that kind of stuff. And it's fun because this was my first experience working with a company that was based in Europe. So I've worked with a couple people in Canada, and it's not that far off, you know, it's a couple hours, but this was like a whole new world for me.
Yeah, I bet the time difference, I think, has been, it can be really difficult, especially if you're in LA and they're in Switzerland, it's a 9-hour difference. So that's hard to find a time to connect. Well, when they approached you, or when you got the gig, what exactly did they tell you, or did they even know really what the sound was that they were kind of going for?
Well, at first, they were going to have it be a much darker game than what it ended up being. So a lot of the early concept art had a really dark central city, and it was a lot of night missions and kind of like Solo in terms of like a lot of bandits and smugglers, and that's basically the world that they were creating here. And as the time went on, it sort of got a little bit lighter, and the concept art got a little bit more positive seeming. So a lot of the early sketches were like really dark and foreboding. And then I think they wanted to have it a little bit more inclusive and just have a bit more positivity to it. And so like the concept art got lighter, and so the music ended up getting lighter as well in the end. And it became more of a just a really exciting mix of StarCraft, and there's a bit of Blade Runner in there influence. So I feel like those were kind of the two main influences for me in terms of the music.
Thank you. Yeah, because I was going to ask you what kind of music or scores or composers you were looking toward to create that sound, and I can definitely hear that classic synth Vangelis sound from Blade Runner for sure. And what I also really picked up on, and I don't know if this was intentional or not, but some of the music really sounds like it's classic 1970s and 80s sort of space adventure. Space Race in particular is a cue that, you know, I could really hear that.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And that was something that I was cueing into a lot in terms of a way to keep the energy and the excitement up in the music, but still have like the space adventure type of theme. So, I mean, I'm a huge fan of the Buck Rogers TV show from like the 1970s, and some of the rhythms in there, like, you know, it wasn't intentional, but I think they like sort of seeped into the music I was writing just because, like, you know, watching that when I was a kid, you know, reruns and stuff, it just like became a little bit of my musical DNA. And then a lot of the references that we talked about when we were first getting started was I would send them cues from StarCraft, since I'm a huge Blizzard fan and love them. And the music is fantastic. So then we would talk about that, and there were certain cues that they really liked and stuff that I liked. And we found sort of a place in the middle where everything came together of this, I don't know, maybe Buck Rogers, Blade Runner, and a little, you know, definitely StarCraft, a little, maybe a little Star Trek in there. There's a lot of French horn in there that gives a grandness to it that fits really well with a lot of the concept art and that we were working with at the time. And then it works really well with the gameplay and the central city of Judgment City. Thank you.
Yeah, it really does. And the event that kind of kicks the whole story off is that you're ambushed and your longtime partner, Rush Steele, is killed in the battle. And your cue, Remember Rush Steele, it's so heartfelt. It's really moving.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. Yeah, I remember reading the brief originally and reading about the different characters and different places and locations that the game was going to take place in. And I figured that that might be a big part of like the narrative thrust of the game. And then, yeah, it kind of unfolds and there's different missions that you go on that relate to his death and all the different parts of the game sort of coalesce around that event that happens early on in the game.
Yeah, I think they've done a really great job with giving you all of these, you know, just fly around and shoot stuff kind of things, but then also keeping the story going so that you have a kind of a way forward and ultimate goals. It must have been fun to work on those kind of two separate aspects, the story missions, but then also just, you know, the group like PvP type action too.
Yeah, it's a really cool mix in the game that they have where most of the game centers around these different missions and like finding smugglers and working with different factions and characters in the game. But then there's also like a big PvP arena that's right in the middle of the city that at any time, if you just want to go in there, fly around and fight other people, it's just a great way to like blow off steam, try something different when you're in the game. And then also when you're in the main city, Judgment City, you also see all these ships flying around and going through sort of like an obstacle course. So they're racing through the city. And then you realize, oh, this is a part of a race, which is another way to play the game. So it's a sort of a race mission that you can go on and you can try to beat other people's times and jump into the game like that. So there's, you know, music for the race and music for the PvP area. And then, of course, all the music for the different missions.
Yeah. Well, how did you approach the, let's say, the combat music for the PvP area?
Well, a lot of that was based on the music that we had created previously and sort of in a similar feeling. But, you know, you want to step it up a little bit. You know, you want to make the stakes a little higher for a PvP type situation where there's a bunch of people firing at you and there's also turrets inside of the PvP area. So like there's never a dull moment. You're always having to either dodge shots from turrets or from just robots that they have in the game that are playing, ships flying around that are not other people. But then there's all other people that join in. Everyone can jump in and have a really amazing, fun, exciting PvP experience.
What I'm curious about, because it's kind of a hybrid score, there's an orchestra and then there's also synths. And so did you actually record a real orchestra for this?
Well, I actually just recorded myself playing a couple of instruments in there. And then the rest is synthetic. So a lot of times with orchestral scores, you have more of a limited budget. You can get away with like playing a couple of parts and then everyone's ear naturally gravitates to the live parts that are being played. And then the orchestral stuff just sort of fills in the background and it all works well together if you mix it properly. So there's some mandolin and stuff on there and some other different parts that hopefully grab people's ear and sort of make everything sound more alive and lush.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you, which instruments did you play?
Well, I played mandolin, and then there's a bit of guitar through delays and different processes that fill in a lot of the parts. Most of it is orchestral music that is created on the computer, but it's made to sound like a real orchestra. And then the synth part is definitely filling in parts. There's a couple of parts where the synth takes the lead, and the orchestra is following along and supporting that. So I kind of wanted to have a nice interplay between the two different elements. Some parts, you know, you just want really exciting orchestral music for a battle scene, and that's what's going to sell it. So you really want to push the orchestra, and then have the synth parts be more to the forefront during the moodier parts, or more of the the tone poem type aspect of some of the pieces, where it's sort of almost like a painting of sounds and creating a mood. And for that, like, synths can work incredibly well, and they can be very evocative and take you to a nice science fiction place.
Yeah, and one of the cues that I really heard that in is Consciousness Dissolved, because those synths are just so great. And it is such a more restful moment in the game than, you know, the whizzing around and battles and flying and stuff. So that one in particular, I think, is great.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So also the hangar music is a sort of a meditative type piece. And that's for when you're up there and you're upgrading your ship, or maybe you're buying a new ship and then you're going to be upgrading that. And one of the cool things about this game is that you have three different classes of ships. So it allows a lot of interesting dynamics when you have multiple people playing on the same mission. So, like, there's a tank ship, there's a fighter ship, and there's an engineer ship. And, you know, so there's a classic MMO type of way that you can play, where, you know, the tank is trying to absorb all the damage, the engineer is trying to fix the and heal the tank ship, and then the fighter is whizzing around picking off enemies and trying to do as much damage as possible while the tank is absorbing the damage. So, you know, it has a lot of the classic type dynamics in the game, but it's set in space, so yeah. It's great. You have that aspect of it. So it's all 360. You're flying around instead of just, you know, 2D plane of like Warcraft or something like that. It has a different feel to it, but it still has like different cool elements of a classic MMO.
Thank you. And you'd mentioned that you had given a talk at GDC about creating music for VR games. And, you know, everybody comes at it from a different point of view. There's lots of experimentation that's going on, especially right now, because VR is such a new thing. So when you were thinking about putting the music in this game, what did you finally decide on? Is it directional, or is it just in the player's head? Or how did you work that out?
That's a great question, because so when we first started out, like, you know, I am so excited about binaural technology. And that's the technology that allows you to place music and sound anywhere in the 3D spectrum. So you can have stuff coming from behind your head, below you, basically wherever you can imagine sound coming from, you can place it there, right? So I was writing music and I was mixing it where sounds were coming all over the place. And it was like this full 3D immersive soundtrack. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm testing it out and I'm playing the game and I'm hearing shots being fired from behind me, and you know, that you have to turn around and fight that ship. And there's all these things that were happening that the music was kind of getting, I wouldn't say it was getting in the way, but, you know, it was like, maybe we should pare this down a little bit, like, and simplify it. And just do it, let's see how it works in stereo, and then maybe try, you know, we got so ambitious, and like with all the different possibilities that you have, as you know, I'm the kid in the candy store. So then like I had to realize, okay, maybe we should pare this back in terms of where we're placing things, still keep the music energetic, but you know, it's very important if someone's firing at you and they're like a bit behind you and, you know, to the left, that you hear exactly where that's coming from and you can spin around and fight them and know where they're going to be. And so you don't want the music to distract from that. And it's very different from the Adventure Time VR game that I did, where the point of view is a bit different. So with that, it's almost like a god's eye view, and you're way behind the character, and the character's running around that you're controlling. And it's okay to have 360 audio and music in that, because you're seeing what's going on more around the character as you're playing it. And so the music, it can like take up more space and not cause a problem with the directional audio, because, you know, it wasn't as directional because you're seeing it from far away. But when you're actually in a ship and you're flying around, like, you got to be able to hear those blasters coming from behind you and be able to turn around and know exactly where those people are going to be in order to really play the game properly. And I felt like with the full binaural treatment, it was taking away a little from that and distracting from that. And there's only so much sonic space that you have, so you want to like make sure it hits where it counts.
Yeah, definitely. And you've made an interesting comment in an earlier interview that I read, which is that especially in combat, you've got a limited amount of attention to give to a thing. And so if the music gets really distracting, then it's also kind of not doing its job.
Yeah, I mean, you really want to serve the game, and that's the most important thing. Even though, as composers, we all, you know, you just always want to make the music as bombastic and exciting as possible. But, you know, the primary thing is to tell the story and to make the player feel a certain way and to serve the entire game. So you have to really take into account all the sound effects that are going to happen in there, and like dialogue lines too are popping up. And since it's a video game and not a movie, you don't know when that line of dialogue is going to pop up. So you have to always make sure that there's a lot of space for it. And so that was actually an interesting thing that came up when I was putting together the soundtrack album. Because the music, how I wrote it for the video game, ends up being a bit different from how you want to hear it in a soundtrack album. So after the music was all sent off and done for the game, I went back and I added a couple layers. And you have to craft the music for the soundtrack so that it's very engaging by itself, and parts that might have gotten in the way when there were battle sounds and voiceover lines, you can actually put sounds in there now, because, you know, when someone's listening to the soundtrack album, that's really all they're listening to. So hopefully. And so, you know, also in games, a lot of times there's multiple layers, and then when threat is introduced and all of a sudden a bunch of ships pop around you, like more layers are added to the soundtrack, and it scales up and scales down in response to how much threat is basically in the game. And so to make a game soundtrack, you definitely want to have it be exciting. And so I had to go back and do a whole different process where I was like crafting the soundtrack outside of any kind of threat from the game, because, you know, you're just listening to the soundtrack. So I had to make it really engaging and fun in and of itself.
And that's so cool because, you know, we all love listening to soundtracks from our favorite games, but I think it's really great when a composer like you makes the soundtrack a separate and a unique experience. And I love how you've organized it so it kind of follows the story arc of the game, and it's got all these wonderful interludes in there. And so it's really well put together. And one of the great things is that there will be a release of the soundtrack, which is fantastic.
I'm so excited by it. Yeah, it's by Something Else Music Works, and I'm really excited about it because this is actually my first video game soundtrack release. So, I hope it does well. I hope people listen to it. I hope people get really engaged in the music, and hopefully, you know, more people will start playing the game. People from the game will start listening to the soundtrack, and there'll be like a nice symbiosis between the two.
So early on in your career, when you were still a student at NYU, you produced the music for a film, The Moon and the Sun, that won an Academy Award. And that is so cool. you know, obviously not everybody gets that kind of recognition early in their careers. And so what I'm wondering is what advice you might have for composers who are just starting out or those who want to get their careers to move forward a little bit more.
Yeah, I think about this a lot and like the best way for young composers to get started. And the best way for me, if you're interested in doing video games, is to do 24-hour and 48-hour game jams. So the way that I got a lot of my early projects was doing these game jams. But I was very specific in making sure that I would go to only do ones where you could actually go to a physical location and meet other video game designers face-to-face. So I did one a couple of years ago. I think it was actually 5 or 6 years ago. And it was held at a company that made video games. And I was there, and I was, out of maybe like 100 people, I was one of maybe 3 composers that was there. So basically people would form groups and they'd be making games for the next 48 hours. And I would walk around to all these different groups and be like, hey guys, do you need a composer for your game? Like, I'm working on some of these games, I can help out. And so at the end of it, I had written music for about 5 or 6 games over the course of like 48 hours. You know, these are small games, they're demos, so maybe like 1 or 2 levels, you know, a couple of music loops. It wasn't that crazy, but, you know, maybe a sleepless night or two, like a couple hours sleep here and there. And it was really invaluable because at the very end of it, everyone presents their games to people. And so, you know, everyone, like 5 people stand up, I get up and we talk about the game, we talk about maybe a little bit about the music of the game. And then, you know, everyone sits down, the next group gets up, I go up with that group because I worked on their game as well. And then, you know, we talk about that. So everyone sees me as like, oh, this guy was good. I like the music for that game. Let's get his number. I'm working on a game. And not only did a bunch of people that were at the game jam end up hiring me, but the office where the game jam was taking place, they ended up hiring me. So, because they were impressed. Yeah. So that, you know, that was, we did a mobile game together. And then some of the people spread off and started doing their own projects. And one of them took me with them and we did a game called This Means War, which is now being published by Kabam. And that it's been going for like 4 or 5 years and people still play it. It's like a really popular game. It's sort of in the mold of a Clash of Clans kind of game. And then those guys left and started a different company called Turbo Button. And then they hired me to do the Adventure Time game. So it's like one thing leads to the next a lot of the time. As long as you do well and everyone likes your music and you are easy to work with, then they always want to hire you. And so then you just keep working with a lot of the same people and then the network grows. And then the Adventure Time game did really well. And then I gave a talk at GDC and then I met people through that. And then, you know, one thing leads to the next. So I recommend the 24 and 48 hour game jams. If you're going to be interested in doing music for TV and film, they also have 24 and 48 hour film festivals where it's a very similar process. A lot of people come together. Maybe you can write music for a couple of the films, a couple of the projects. And then at the end, everyone shows it. Everyone meets you. You have a little party at the end. You hang out. And for me, that was an amazing way for me to get in to the industry. And then I also went to a film school. I went to NYU. And I worked with a lot of the upcoming filmmakers there, working on their student films. And by the time I had graduated, one of the films that I'd worked on, it was a student film. It was in Sundance. And then 2 of the student films I'd worked on ended up being in Tribeca and as part of a family film program, part of Tribeca. And so then that led to other gigs and other projects and, you know, good credits on the resume. So for me, I know a lot of people are like, they want to start at the top. I want to work for Blizzard at first. It doesn't really work like that. You know, they're like, you know, you kind of start with these indie films and shorts and student films and stuff. And then you sort of work your way up. Unless you're Trent Reznor and you're already established in a different field, you know. And then he just shows up. Hey, of course, it's Trent. Let's hire him. Of course, you know.
Yeah, but even he probably had to start at, you know, the very, very bottom and work his way up with 9 Inch Nails. And then they knew who he was. So, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Also, in terms of ways for young composers to get started, another good way is being an assistant to another more established composer. And I've definitely had a lot of experience doing that. and I've worked on The Borgias and Immortals with Trevor Morris. And then later I worked for Danny Lux, and we worked on Raising Hope and Grey's Anatomy. And that ended up getting my foot in the door in terms of film and TV stuff. And then a lot of the people I met through those experiences, I'm still working with together today, even though that was 5 years ago. And some of the projects I'm working on now are for another composer, and I'm writing, they call it additional music, which is basically music that the composer is, he's so busy working on like the other parts of the music, or there's a tight timeline, so he needs to get a lot of music written quickly. And so he's setting the tone, he's giving all the guidance and direction, but then I'm going and writing a lot of the music for this, whatever project I'm working on at the time. And so it ends up being a sort of different credit called additional music, where he is the fully credited composer on the project. So I've done a lot of projects like that, and that's also a way that composers early on in their career can get started and get their foot in the door.
Yeah, and what's cool about that, it's such a great experience because so many composers end up being asked to write music in a particular style that maybe wasn't their original voice, but you know, whatever the game or the film or the TV show needs, they have to come up with that. So that's actually really good practice too.
Oh, it's invaluable writing in a different style. And then parts of that style that you've worked on with this other composer might end up filtering into your own compositional style. And that, and then you become more versed and you try different ways of expressing emotion that you wouldn't have tried ordinarily. And then another good thing about working with another composer is that they can be very specific in terms of the technical parts of the music, in terms of saying, hey, the reverb is a little too much here and it's causing the music to sound cloudy or like not very precise. Whereas a director might hear it and not know what's going on or what the problem is. And then they might not, you know, be able to tell you that, and they might just throw out the cue, even though it might just be a small little problem or technical decision that you made to have more reverb on an instrument. And for me, that's been invaluable, and it's helped out my production skills with working on with other composers, because, you know, they're teaching you a little bit as you're going along, and you're making music in their style, and you're figuring out their tricks of how they produce things. And then that becomes part of your own toolkit, which is super awesome. So I recommend that to anyone.
Well, how can people find you on social and your website?
Sure. It's really easy to find me. I have a Twitter account that I should use a lot more often. So if everyone friended me on that, it'll get me on Twitter a lot more. I have a Facebook like composer page that I'm updating a lot. I'm also just on Facebook as a normal, ordinary human, you know, so you can talk to me like that. I have a website where I have tons of examples of music that I've written for different projects. So you can watch the video, you can watch me conducting or me playing banjo. And I have a fun split screen thing for the Adventure Time video I did where it has all the different musicians playing and they're all popping up in like corners of the screen while the gameplay is in the middle, all playing their different parts. And so it's actually educational for a lot of people because they're seeing a guy play a Barry Sax and they're like, oh, I didn't know what that's what that sounded like, or I didn't know that sound is from that instrument. And then so it's actually a lot of people that I've shown it to have been like, I had an educational experience out of it. So, you know, that, and it's also fun music.
That's so awesome. Well, yeah. Eric, it's been really, really a lot of fun talking with you. And again, sure. Congratulations with your music for Anshar Online, because it is really awesome.
Thank you so much. It's been great being on the show. I've been really, really enjoyed it.